An angel might show up to help me. I've seen angels. I don't run back and forth to heaven every day. That doesn't happen. And I don't see angels every day. But I'm sensitive to that out there more than I'm sensitive a lot of times to what's going on here, because I've trained myself, it's through reason and use of training.
Yeah.
And so slowly, I'm 80 years old, so it's taken me a long time. I didn't get here overnight, but I can help you get there a lot faster than me, because I can say, don't do this and do that. This works and that doesn't work.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be an extremely special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And I have joining me for today's conversation a true spiritual mother. We are going to sit at her feet and listen to the wisdom that has flowed into her heart through her many years of relationship with Jesus and over 40 years in ministry, not only pastoring and preaching and equipping people in how to live an effective, powerful prayer life, really truly understanding our governmental authority in Jesus and who we actually truly are, our true identity. But in the process of that, she has, like I said, she has mothered many. She's walked alongside very established, well-loved international ministries along her journey, again, helping them establish biblically based, mature, seasoned, effective organizations of prayer, communities of prayer within the ministry space. So it's my joy to welcome into the conversation with me a woman that I know is going to change your life as you listen to her. It's my joy to welcome Ginger Ziegler. Ginger, welcome.
Thank you so much. I consider it such an honor, I tell you, to be able to say anything for Jesus. And I've lived a long time doing this, all these years, but used to the first probably 20 or 30 years I was in ministry, every time I get ready to speak, all I could do is cry. And people couldn't understand that. But I felt so like I couldn't even comprehend God had let me say anything for him. And
yeah.
So I feel very honored. And I thank you so much for allowing me to come on your program and share with your people. I believe
yeah.
we're going to say the right thing is going to help them, get them started
Yeah.
in the right direction, and keep them going. Because
Yeah.
I can get going and I stay on it till it's done. So
Yeah.
I can
Yeah.
impart that to people.
Yeah. That holy supernatural tenacity to
Yes.
just see a thing established in the kingdom. It's so, so needed. So yeah, definitely impart that to all of us. We need that. Okay. So just to begin with, and I know a lot of what we will talk about today, you have as part of the content of your new book, which is a treasure that we all need to sit and digest. So actually, I just want to let you all know about that quickly. So Ginger's new book is called Hidden Faces in Prophetic Places, Unveiling Supernatural Mysteries Through Prayer. And it's full of your experience with Jesus down the years, hey, in establishing people in effective lives of prayer. So, okay, so question one, Ginger, when you're helping people become established to be seriously effective, to change their world and the world at large with their powerful intercession, what would you say are the most important foundational pieces to get in place to begin to shift into a place of really governmental effectiveness in prayer?
Oh, that's easy. That's so simple. It's a father-child relationship. That's how I started. That's how I began to understand, you can pray because you got to pray, or you pray out of necessity, or you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. I'm sorry, I'm Texan. Is that all right if I talk
Love it.
about Texas
Love
language?
it. Love the Texan accent.
And you get between a rock and a hard place. But there's a different kind of praying. There's praying because you just want to be with him. And that happens because of relationship, the father-child relationship. And so it was really interesting what you said about the tenacity thing. And I'll tell you just a tidbit about my past. I had a very severe hardship in the past. My parents were not born again, and so we kind of lived like that in a hard way. And so, but my heart, I got born again. I had a vision of Jesus at a tent meeting when I was 4 or 5 years old. And so that got me, boom, and centered me in. So I went through, I wasn't allowed to go to church. So I just got my Bible, me and my Bible. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have anybody to teach me, but I learned just by myself. So all these years rocked by. And then I ended up praying. I ended up learning. One day I was just reading the Bible. I've told this story so many times. I was just reading my daily Bible reading in Matthew 6 and verse 6. And it says, go in your private place, your private prayer closet, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and He'll reward you openly. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's what I've been doing wrong. I haven't been going find this. I gotta go pray in the closet. So I was like, oh, that's why all my prayers are not being answered. It was childlikeness, but not being childish. But I began then, that was 1969. And then I began then to realize I had to pull myself away so that I could get with this intimate setting with God as Father. But I still didn't understand it because of my background. The Father didn't look so good to me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, God was like up in heaven, you're like, do this and don't do that. That
Right,
was my
right. That was
understanding
your
of
filter. Yeah. Yeah.
it. And so anyway, I started pulling myself away. You'll have to read the book to hear the funny story because I figured out how to wiggle in this little bitty closet and all that stuff. Anyway, but God honored it. And so it started to go. But when I got to 1971, I went in my little prayer closet to pray, but I ended up in heaven that time. And so God began to unfold to me the love that He had for me. And can you believe in heaven? You think how you're going to act when you go to heaven, right? You got it all programmed, how you'll do everything just right. Well, you don't. You just
No.
like you're you. I couldn't believe I was me. But I jumped up in heaven and I was screaming, you love me, you love me, you love me. I've been saved all my life, but I didn't know you love me. I was just going bananas in heaven because I was like, He actually loves me. So
Yeah,
that began
yeah.
to turn me from this hard taskmaster as a father to, wait a minute, maybe there's something I don't know. So right after that, the Lord helped me understand how to forgive my parents. And I'm talking about real forgiveness. I'm not talking about just yakking it out, but actually happened. So when I was in the process of walking through this forgiveness, the Lord said to me about my dad, He said, tell me one strong point about your dad. And all I could think was all the negative stuff because I had so much bitterness and anger and all that stuff in me. So I started blabbing off all this stuff. And so the Lord said, one of the things I said, well, he's the most stubborn man I ever met in my entire life. I've never seen such stubbornness. And that's what I said to God. I remember exactly where I was. I can tell you in detail what I was wearing, everything is so exact. And so the Lord spoke back to me and he said, well, why don't we see the spiritual side of that? And I said, the spiritual side of being stubborn? Like, hello. And he said, I gave you your parents so that you could be who you are. And I said, but God, like, how do you, I mean, did you see the mess I lived in? Okay. And he said, I want you to pull out, and what would you see on the spiritual side of someone being stubborn? And I said, I don't know, I guess divine tenacity. And he spoke these words to me. He said, yes, you have that, like your dad. This is 1971, 72, right in between there. And he said, you will do what I ask you to do if it takes 20 or 30 years. He said, because you will not quit until it's finished. I had no idea how profound
Wow.
those words were.
Yeah.
And he said, so take that as a strength, a spiritual strength, stamina to do what it takes. And I just have to
Wow.
tell you about my book, The Blood Book. It took me 33 years to get this book written and produced.
I
Oh my
started
gosh. it in 91 and I kept on until it was produced. And so when you said that word, see, we go back and we begin to see our father, our natural father, natural situations, and we can see the spiritual side. And we can begin to glean how God has intricately made us. And so that makes it different when you start seeing your heavenly father, because we're made in the image and the likeness of Christ, and we begin to understand that. So then when Jesus was in the River Jordan, God himself said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Think about, just go through the four gospels. Look what he went through. That one statement, that father-child relationship, carried him through all that stuff. He had enough wisdom to deal with the hardest core situation you've ever seen. And then when he got on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter is blabbing off here, kind of reminding me myself of Peter, blah, 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 we need to do this. Peter said, "Oh, God's here and we need to." And the Lord said, "Knock it off. No, this is my beloved son. Listen to him." Well, that was the second time. Okay, so the first time he said it to Jesus in the river took him through 3.5 years of ministry, nearly being pushed off the cliff, all the stuff that happened to him, all the evil stuff that was said to him. Then the second time, it took him all the way through the persecution, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Just knowing that identity carried him through all of it, till now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. So I began to learn from that father-child relationship. He starts bringing out the good that is in you, and he strengthens what he's put inside you. And then as you walk through it took me years to walk through to know what I know now. But then you pray because you want to pray, not because you got some emergency or something, because the world's falling apart. You pray because you just want to be with him. Just like looking back, and I want you to know, I always say this. I ended up leading my mom and dad to the Lord. I led my dad to the Lord 2.5 months before he died. He made the greatest preacher you've ever seen. He was, boy, I'm telling you, he was like Billy Graham. He was something else. He was the real
Fantastic.
dad was in there, and he came out. It was really cool.
Oh,
But anyway,
beautiful.
I had to have honor and respect for him in order for God to grant me the privilege of leading him to the Lord. So it turned out right. And I led the rest of my family to the Lord too, one by one. But anyway, but the thing is, people don't realize how identification either makes you or breaks you. And whoever we're identifying with, or what we're identifying with, will either tear us up or make us strong on the inside. Doesn't mean we're going to get through life without a bunch of bumps in the road, but it does mean we're going to get through the bumps and get to the other side. That's what it means. And so that's where you start. If you can just think like, well, I'm not going to go and ask God, I got this long list. I need rent money and I need this and I'm sick and I need my car payment. No, yeah. Just go and say, "Hi, how's it going in heaven today? I got a couple of things I'd like to talk to you about, but what do you want to tell me that's important for me to know today?" See, that's what you would do if you had a wise father. You'd go sit at his feet and you'd go, "Well, I got some decisions I need to make and I need wisdom. Dad, can you help me?" That changes prayer totally and completely. Then you want to pray all the time. Like Paul said, you want to pray at all times. And then you learn to live in the prayer closet. Does that help you? Am I saying too
Ah,
much?
that no.
It's really easy. It's not
Beautiful.
hard.
Beautiful. It is the foundation, isn't it, that changes everything. It's beautiful. And so many people, so many of us don't start off in life with a perfect dad, right? I mean, our parents are doing the best they can with where they're at, with their life history affecting them, and to be able to understand how loved we are, to have that like child-parent relationship is the foundation of everything. Like you said, it changes everything. And to knowing that moment when we experience his love, it really changes everything, doesn't it?
Well, I've seen.
And so I want to just go back to the moment you said you right at the very beginning, and you said, and then suddenly you found yourself in heaven and
Oh.
you were with Father. So I wanted to ask you to help people understand how you see in the spirit realm. So when you shifted into that experience and then began to see, to have your relationship and to begin to see in the spirit realm and experience the kingdom as reality. So can you give us keys on that?
Well, it started in 1969 with a closet thing because I had always been faithful in reading the word. I had always been faithful in praying. I mean, I did everything. We were in a denominational church. I did everything exactly like they said, do it. I'd always walked the walk. I mean, really and truly walked in the holy lane and stayed in it. And so, but I was developing a relationship more from the legalistic standpoint. Stand up, sit down on cue, do this, don't do that. You know, it was like, because that's what I
Rules.
understood. And so when I started doing the going in the closet and talking to my father, my whole way of thinking began to change. And so that opened me up to think, well, you know, maybe he might talk to me. Well, what if he did? I remember the first time that it actually really in real life dawned on me, he actually spoke to me. It was after the heaven experience. I was sitting at somebody's table. It's the first time I'd ever heard this, and this lady, her name was Rose, and she turned around and she said, oh, Ginger, I was praying for you today, and the Lord said to tell you Psalm 91 because you've set your love upon him. He's going to show you great salvation. And I was like, I said, whoa, wait a minute. What, whoa? I said, did you say that God told you to tell me that? Because I was like, you mean like God, great big old God, he's like gonna talk to you? I was like, it was like, oh yeah. And so then that began to, like, I thought, I didn't think he did that. I didn't think he did supernatural things. I didn't know that there were actually angels you could see. So my mind began to expand. And my heart began to open, like thinking, well, if he's a father, he would be there some way to communicate in some sort. So that started me on a journey. So I didn't realize when I went to heaven, I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were still in the denominational church. I was just going in the closet and praying like I always do. And so I don't even know how it happened. I was praying. The next thing I know, I was in heaven. So then when I came back from heaven, he actually stood at the foot of the bed that night. And I was like, it was so easy to believe. I was like, oh yeah, well, I, you know, it's really funny. The funny side of it was all day long when people would come to the house, I'd say, y'all, I went and got in the closet and I ran to heaven today. And if you go into heaven and you do this, you get in that closet and I thought something had to do with the closet. I didn't understand how it was working. So, and people were like, what, you know? And I said, yeah. And like Jesus, he stood at the foot of the bed, and it was so normal. What he was doing for me was like making me understand there's a way to live your life where you're not just in the confines of this earthly realm holding you in all the time, that there's the spiritual realm, and that's where our real citizenship is out there. And in the spirit realm, he can open your eyes through the discerning of spirits where you can begin to see. But you have to see, you have to grow to the place to where you have room to receive it. You know, like if you were moving in a house and you had five kids, you're going to need a bunch of closets and a bunch of bathrooms. You're going to have room for them. So I was, through these things that God was doing, he was helping me make room and expanding the way I was thinking and seeing the written word so that I could have. And I would say, oh, well, okay. So I would read another book, or I'd read chapters, or I would take the Strong's Concordance, old time Strong's Concordance, and I would look up every scripture I could find. And I started to get my mind understanding, yeah, it's okay. Hey, the whole Bible is supernatural. I
Absolutely.
can be able to touch that. I can get to where I am more sensitive in the realm of the spirit than I am here. And that is going to help me when I go through some really hard trials, because I've been through a bunch of hard ones. And if I can stay knowing that there's something, an angel might show up to help me. I've seen angels. I don't run back and forth to heaven every day. That doesn't happen. And I don't see angels every day. But I'm sensitive to that out there more than I'm sensitive a lot of times to what's going on here, because I've trained myself, through train, it's through reason and use of training.
Yeah.
And so slowly, I'm 80 years old, so it's taken me a long time. I didn't get here overnight, but I can help you get there a lot faster than me, because I can say, don't do this and don't do that. This works and that doesn't work. You can get
Yeah.
there faster, like when you get lost and the GPS is telling you to turn right and you think, I don't think so. I'm supposed to turn left. And, but you can get there fast if you follow the right directions.
Yeah.
And so that's
So
what
good.
I think God is using me to do to help people. Like, come on, let's get with us.
Yeah.
We're in a bad time now. You know
Yeah.
we are.
Yeah.
We
Yeah.
got to get where we're more sensitive out here, hearing what he's saying. What's the Holy Spirit's truth telling you right now? You better pay attention. This is down the pike. This is coming over here. You need to be here, and you don't need to be. We need to get to where it's just like part of living. We just do what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So important. And you can help us fast track, like you said,
Yeah,
to
I
let go
can.
of the things that are going to
Get a
hinder. Right, get a
closet.
closet, number one. That's so brilliant. Okay, I want to ask you, because you walk in this, about the authority of the believer, the authority that we can walk in, and how do we?
The way to really and truly understand the authority, you've got to understand the power of the
The
blood of
blood.
Jesus. I've
Yeah.
actually, I'm not bragging about this. I've seen Satan face to face. I've had to face him in different situations. And that can be scary if you don't understand. Now, a lot of people can blab it off, the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. But I mean, like, you got to know it if you're going to face him, okay? Or some big old demon or something. But if you understand, if you begin to say, Lord, teach me what exactly is the difference between all religions and true Christianity? What is the dividing line? And he's going to reveal to you it's the life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as you begin to behold that and honor the blood, and God begins to give you more and more revelation, then you can get to the place to where. And I've been to this place. I started this place where a demon would manifest. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, I know the Bible, y'all. I know the scriptures and stuff. I'm not a theologian or anything. You can tell that. But I know the Bible and I know
Yeah,
Jesus. That's a
that's
big
the most
part.
important part.
But
Yes.
sometimes I didn't know what to say, and I'd be sitting there like, oh, duh, like, I'm thinking about all these scriptures running through my head, Genesis to Revelation, all these scriptures. Should I say this? And I just simply said, the blood. That's it. I let the blood of Jesus, because of the revelation he had been giving me, fight my battle. I wasn't binding loose and screaming, hollering, speaking in tongues or nothing. I just said, the blood. Demons and Satan is literally scared of the lake of fire and brimstone because of the power of the blood. Satan could shut everything in Jesus' life down, but he couldn't shut his blood down. His blood still speaks. Hebrews 12, 24, 25. And so if you just begin to learn, and I know it's a little bit scary. I've been in foreign countries and I started teaching about the blood, and people get like this. But you need to learn that's your one weapon. If you don't, you learn that, and it begins to open up life to you, because it's the life of the Father that was in the blood of Jesus. And that's eternal life. Satan cannot do a thing about that. He might be able to shut us up from some scriptures. When that guy's, the sons of Sceva went in and said, hey, dude, we're going to throw these devils out of you. And they said, oh, yeah, the devil's going to throw y'all out. And remember how
Yeah.
that happened?
Yeah, didn't
All
end
we
well
know,
for
Jesus, we
them.
know, but who are you dudes? Okay.
Yeah.
So we don't want that to happen. So what we want to happen is the blood. You don't even have to say the blood of Jesus. They can figure it out. They know if you know.
Yeah.
They know when you know. And they know when you're afraid and when you're not. And you get to that place to where you start having your authority. And it's not so much of having authority, it's walking and living in authority. You don't have, like somebody is a five-star general. Every time he walks in the door, you don't have to say, "Did you bring your all of your stuff so that everybody knows you're a five-star general? Did you remember that you're a five-star general?" You don't have to do that. The guy knows it. He walks in, everybody goes, "Ooh." And so when you know it on the inside, you don't have to tell anybody. You just walk in it. And the devils know it too.
The
So
devils
it's
do
not
know
so
it.
much. And there are times, I'm telling you, there are times I tell the devil what time of day it is. I go to the court of heaven and I say, like, we're going to have this discussion. And I'm going to win because I got the blood of Jesus. And so there are times I do that. But most of the time I just say, Lord, what you want me to say? What you want me to do?
Just keep
I will
yielded,
just yield.
looking at
Yeah.
him. I had a profound experience a number of years ago where I was taken up into heaven and I was in the throne room and I heard over and over, it was over and over and over at least three times, the whole cloud of witnesses that were present around the throne in one accord, they kept saying over and over, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." And it was reverberating into my spirit. And I could feel it moving out from the Spirit of God through my spirit, like we're all one in Christ. And I understood from from Holy Spirit that the message of the blood is coming back center stage in our time, and we are going to live from that place of revelation and authority because of that. So it's really impacting me what you're saying, because it's something like many of us, many places in the world, like you said, don't really understand this subject, don't want to talk about it, but it is the finished work of Jesus is what disarmed all the principalities and powers, isn't it? Gave us all authority over every work of darkness in Christ. So it's central to our faith and our
It is.
authority.
I'm telling you, that's the difference. I've been to a lot of foreign countries, and I've talked to all different kind of religions of every kind, and I can talk to any of them. I just let them say whatever they're going to say, and I always say, "What do you think about Jesus?" And some of them have these answers, and so I wait for them to get through with the answers, and then I go, "Well, what can you tell me about the blood of Jesus?" And so when they start talking there, I'm telling you what, that separates the men from the boys because I can shut them down there because I can say, this is it. If you do not believe that the power of the blood of Jesus is the only way of salvation, then when you check out, you're going one place or the other. And one guy was telling me, he said, "Well, I believe in reincarnation." And I said, "Oh, that's an interesting subject. Explain it to me." So I went through this whole thing. And so I said, "Well, it's like this." And I got to this part and I said, "You know what?" I said, "If I'm right, I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus and you're going to be in hell. If you're right, I guess I'll come back as a maybe a white stallion horse or something." I said, "But when you draw your last breath, you'll know I'm right." And I said, "You will remember my face and you will remember my words and the sound of my voice. And you have the opportunity to accept the blood of Jesus Christ." That was the end of the conversation. Because that's where I
Wow.
am with anybody. I don't care who they
That's
are.
where you are. Oh, okay. We have literally about 2 minutes. That conversation has gone so fast. Can I just ask you, would you pray for us in finishing?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you again for having me. And Father, we just, right now, I'm going to pray, Lord, that according to Acts 4:33, you said that you would pour out great grace on all flesh, all flesh. It doesn't matter who they are, where they are in this world, what they're doing, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. Father, we just pray right now that as you pour out of your spirit, of grace, your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, your tenderness, that it would literally melt people's hearts. That they just say, "Jesus, help me." Help me, help me. And you'd be able to go right in there, right into that situation. Father, I just see you going into situations right now and giving them hope. Hope that they're not without hope. They have something to hook their faith to. And that something is you. That something is the blood of your cross. That something is you will never leave them and you will never forsake them and you will take them and you will just hide them in the shadow underneath your wings and you will protect them. And they can run into you and they can be safe. They can run into you as a high tower, a safe place. Father, draw them. Just like the disciples threw out that net. Lord, we're throwing out the net on the right side of the boat. And we're drawing in, drawing in, drawing in, drawing in those close to your heart so they can sit at your feet and let you love them. Father, we ask you to do this in Jesus' name right now. Every one of the people that's been watching, that's going to watch. And then they can literally sense deep on the inside of them and their emotions way down deep inside, where they cry and nobody knows it, where they're hurt and they're scared and nobody even knows what's going on, but you do. That you touch them down deep on the inside of them and draw them to you, draw them to your heart, to your very heartbeat. They can be so close, they can feel you, feel your love, feel your touch. Lord, we ask you to do that right now. Draw those people in, Lord. Draw them in, draw them in, draw them in, draw them in. Draw them into yourself. Give them the ability just to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Holy Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We agree.
Thank you.
We agree. Ooh.
Thank you.
Wow. Ginger, thank you so much for all you've shared, all you've prayed, for giving us your precious time. So good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. And I believe you're going to hear good reports.
I
And I
agree.
believe maybe I blessed you guys. Maybe there'll be a
Amen.
change there too.
Amen. Amen. I agree. I agree. Guys, we do. I agree with everything that Ginger prayed. I agree that you will experience the depth of how loved you are this
Yes.
week by your
Yes.
Heavenly Father, by Jesus, by Holy Spirit. You will have a transformation, a healing beyond anything that you imagined was possible as you experience His love. And that becomes an even deeper foundation for your life as you go forward. Amen. Have the most amazing week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. Jesus spoke to me, and He said if I would create a space for Him, He would come. And what He has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with Him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at His feet with us.